Ford and Arthur stared around them.
Well, what do you think? Said Ford.
It's a bit squalid, isn't it?
Ford frowned at the grubby mattresses, unwashed cups, and unidentifiable bits of smelly alien underwear that lay around the cramped cabin.
Well, this is a working ship, you see, said Ford. These are Dentrassi's sleeping quarters.
I thought you said they were called Vogons or something, said Arthur.
Yes, said Ford. The Vogons are on the ship, the Dentrassis are the cooks. They let us on board.
I'm confused, said Arthur.
Here, have a look at this, said Ford.
He sat down on one of the mattresses and rummaged about in his satchel. Arthur prodded the mattress nervously and then sat on it himself. In fact, he had very little to be nervous about, because all mattresses grown in the swamps of Squanchula Zeta are very thoroughly killed and dried before being put to service. Very few have ever come to life again. Ford handed the book to Arthur.
What is it? Asked Arthur.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a sort of electronic book. It tells you everything you need to know about anything. That's its job.
Arthur turned it over nervously in his hands.
I like the cover, he said. Don't panic. It's the first helpful or intelligible thing anybody's said to me all day.
I'll show you how it works, said Ford.
He snatched it from Arthur, who was still holding it as if it was a 2-week dead lark, and pulled it out of its cover.
You press this button here, you see, and the screen lights up, giving you the index.
A screen, about 3 inches by 4, lit up, and characters began to flicker across the surface.
You want to know about Vogon, so I entered that name, so.
His fingers tapped some more keys, and there we are. The words Vogon Constructor Fleets flared in green across the screen. Ford pressed a large red button at the bottom of the screen, and words began to undulate across it. At the same time, the book began to speak the entry as well, in a still, quiet, measured voice. This is what the book said. Vogon Constructor Fleets. Here is what to do if you want to get a lift from a Vogon. Forget it. They are one of the most unpleasant races in the galaxy, not actually evil, but bad-tempered, bureaucratic, officious, and callous. They wouldn't even lift a finger to save their own grandmothers from the ravenous bug-bladder beast of Tral, without orders signed in triplicate, sent in, sent back, queried, lost, found, subjected to public inquiry, lost again, and finally buried in soft peat for 3 months and recycled as firelighters. The best way to get a drink out of a Vogon is to stick your finger down his throat. And the best way to irritate him is to feed his grandmother to the ravenous bug-bladder beast of Tral. On no account allow a Vogon to read poetry at you.
Arthur blinked at it. What a strange book. How did we get a lift, then?
That's the point. It's out of date now, said Ford, sliding the book back into its cover. I'm doing the field research for the new revised edition, and one of the things I'll have to include is a bit about how the Vogons now employ Dentrassi cooks, which gives us rather a useful little loophole.
A pained expression crossed Arthur's face.
But who are the Dentrassi? He said.
Oh, great guys, said Ford. They're the best cooks and the best drinks mixers, and they don't give a wet slap about anything else. And they'll always help hitchhikers aboard, partly because they like the company, but mostly because it annoys the Vogons, which is exactly the sort of thing you need to know if you're an impoverished hitchhiker trying to see the marvels of the universe for less than 30 Altarian dollars a day. And that's my job. Fun, isn't it?
Arthur looked lost. It's amazing, he said, and frowned at one of the other mattresses.
Unfortunately, I got stuck on the Earth rather longer than I intended, said Ford. I came for a week and got stuck for 15 years.
But how did you get there in the first place, then?
Oh, easy. I got a lift with a teaser.
A teaser?
Yeah.
What is
a teaser? Teasers are usually rich kids with nothing to do. They cruise around looking for planets which haven't made interstellar contact yet and buzz them.
Buzz them? Arthur began to feel that Ford was enjoying making life difficult for him.
Yeah, said Ford. They buzz them. They find some isolated spot with very few people around. Then they land right by some poor unsuspecting soul whom no one's ever going to believe, and then strut up and down in front of him wearing silly antennae on their head and making beep-beep noises.
Rather childish, really. Ford leant back on the mattress with his hands behind his head and looked infuriatingly pleased with himself.
Ford, insisted Arthur, I don't know if this sounds like a silly question, but what am I doing here?
Well, you know that, said Ford. I rescued you from the Earth.
And, what's happened to the Earth?
Ah, it's been demolished.
Has it? Said Arthur levelly. Yes, it just boiled away into space.
Look, said Arthur, I'm a bit upset about that.
Ford frowned himself and seemed to roll the thought around in his mind.
Yes, I can understand that,
he said at last.
Understand that, shouted Arthur. Understand that.
Ford sprang up. Keep looking at the book, he hissed urgently.
What?
Don't panic.
I'm not panicking. Yes, you are. All right, so I am panicking. What else is there to do?
You just come along with me and have a good time. The galaxy's a fun place. You'll need to have this fish in your ear.
I beg your pardon,
said Arthur, rather politely, he thought. Ford was holding up a small glass jar, which quite clearly had a small yellow fish wriggling around in it. Arthur blinked at him. He wished there was something simple and recognisable he could grasp hold of. He would have felt safe if alongside the Dentrassi underwear, the piles of squanchulous mattresses, and the man from Beetlejuice holding up a small yellow fish and offering to put it in his ear, if he'd been able to see just a small packet of cornflakes. But he couldn't, and he didn't feel safe. Suddenly a violent noise leapt at them from no source that he could identify. He gasped in terror at what sounded like a man trying to gargle whilst fighting off a pack of wolves.
"Shh," said Ford. "Listen, it might be important."
"Important?
It's the Vogon captain making an announcement on the Tannoy."
"You mean that's how Vogons talk?"
"Listen." "But I can't speak Vogon. You don't need to. Just put this fish in your ear."
Ford, with a lightning movement, clapped his hand to Arthur's ear, and he had the sudden, sickening sensation of the fish slithering deep into his oral tract. Gasping with horror, he scrabbled at his ear for a second or so, but then slowly turned goggle-eyed with wonder. He was experiencing the oral equivalent of looking at a picture of two black silhouetted faces and suddenly seeing it as a picture of a white candlestick, or of looking at a lot of coloured dots on a piece of paper, which suddenly resolve themselves into the figure six, and mean that your optician is going to charge you a lot of money for a new pair of glasses. He was still listening to the howling gargles, he knew that, only now it had somehow taken on the semblance of perfectly straightforward English. This is what he heard.